Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Market sentiment seems to have found some more momentum today, especially after the news that Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine candidate is proving to be 90% effective based on early data signals. How will this shape markets moving forward, especially since we're coming off the back of the U.S. elections last week? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for the Asia-Pacific region at Axie Corp, to share his thoughts on how markets might play out and if this is all system go for equities. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe out in Bangkok. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, JP.
And barring the NASDAQ overnight and a few major markets in the Asia-Pacific region, most equity markets here in indices are doing very, very well. As you mentioned, the Straits Times Index within striking distance now of 2,700, actually. Stephen, how big of a deal are the developments with regards to Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine? And does this actually clear the way for markets to continue to rise?
I think it's huge for healthcare concerns going forward. It's obviously going to take a while to roll out, and I think that's where the logistics are getting debated right now, how quickly it can get rolled out. Is it 6 months? It's a year. How quickly will it turn the economy around? All these things have to be considered. What are the central banks going to do? What are the government's going to do? Are they going to continue to cover the markets back? I think they will. I think what will happen over the near term is that the central banks and governments will continue to bridge that gap until the vaccine has got the economy lift off. CPI levels are quite low globally, and I don't see any need for central banks to raise interest rates anytime soon. I think governments are quite cognizant of the fact it's better to throw stimulus at people when they're actually in the mood to spend rather than when they're sitting at home. So I expect stimulus taps to continue opening. Now, we had the predictable safe haven splat overnight on the vaccine news. There was a sharp sell-off across all the havens, whether it be yen, gold, franc, Swiss franc. It was frenetic. I mean, yes, people had really bought into these safe havens given the extended election mantra that we'd been going through, and even the thought here we could be running into another 3 months of uncertainty given this is Trump's last hurrah. So markets were actually positioned quite defensively. As far as equity markets, well, you have to take into consideration the leadership of equity markets is pretty much concentrated in tech. So, I mean, given the fact that we're probably not going to see a definitive pivot lower in interest rates, tech markets are probably going to sell off a little bit as the rotation moves into value and cyclical stocks. That's pretty much the market's modus operandi when in the release of the vaccine, similar to what it would have been, you know, the reflationary narrative under a blue wave. So really cross-asset disappointment and investor positioning for a reflationary blue wave in the U.S. election just proving short-lived after this COVID vaccine news. So we're back to the blue wave, only it's getting delivered through a vaccine shot.
We did see, as you mentioned also, that there is signs at least of the sell-off at least from tech. We saw the NASDAQ overnight take a 1.5% intraday step back at least, in contrast to the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 gaining ground. You have the elections, you have the vaccine developments. Do you think this is creating that groundwork really for that rotation outside of tech into these more defensive or perhaps more value-driven sectors?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, but the market's still very sensitive to headline risk, whether it be COVID, whether it be election risk, and we're starting to see that getting pared back again. I think markets are, you know, the risk off. It's not really risk off, but I mean, people are taking profit on equities right now because the higher bond yields are affecting everything. Shrinking in the dollar, we've seen the dollar get stronger, perhaps a little bit overshoot on the dollar. Really, higher yields. I mean, it's not as if yields are rocketing higher. They're just a little bit higher. And what really is more of a concern for foreign exchange market is this U.S. rates volatility, and that's not really that high. And I don't think that's going to be a big factor here. I think more concern here for FX differentiation should evolve from a tech-driven and a test and trace-out performance to buying assets of economies where domestic demand and tourist incomes have been ravaged. So I think this benefits a lot of the Asian currencies. I'm looking at Thailand, for instance, where I'm residing. I would expect the Thai baht to strengthen, Singapore dollar, Philippine peso, and probably Malaysian ringgit to a great extent. I think these will win out over the next little while as perhaps North Asian currencies may underperform. Oh, and let's not forget India. Why did I forget India? I don't know, because that's the biggest one of them all. They should be benefiting from this, because India was really ravaged by COVID. So having a vaccine in hand will be very, very positive for the Indian and the rupee outlook going forward.
And I'm glad you brought up all of these currencies in the emerging market space. A lot of folks might also feel that this could trigger a rotation back into emerging markets. Do you think that it's a done deal that they're going to benefit from all of these developments? And if so, which emerging markets do you think stand out and might stand to pick up the most, Stephen?
I never say anything is a done deal when it comes to the markets. I'll wait for them to deliver, and I think that's what we're seeing play out here, is the markets are concerned about the supply chain mechanisms and how quickly they can get rolled out. This is just a natural reaction after the big move last night up, and sort of the knee-jerk move down we've had on whether it's on profit-taking, whether it's on uncertainty as to how the vaccine will be get delivered. You just got to play with the market gives you. Ultimately, getting back to the point again, I think we're going to turn more from an interest rate-driven markets more towards a growth-oriented markets. This is where I see emerging markets that have struggled under the pressure from COVID, whether it's through commodity exports, whether it's through oil exports. These countries and currencies have struggled, and I think these are the ones that are going to stand the most. For instance, perhaps the ruble could do a little bit better. Perhaps we could see the Brazilian real do better over in their neck of the wood. I keep on harping about the Malaysian ringgit. I think that stands to do quite well on a catch-up play, because that is a oil export quotient that is used to fund the government coffers, so higher oil prices. And we're going to get higher oil prices eventually. Right now, the problem we have with the oil markets and the oil-related currencies right now is there's just a lot of supply to chew through. Remember, oil is really traded on a spot market, just like all commodities. So we've just got a lot of supply to chew through. That doesn't, you know, before prices can rise, you got to lift the spot market first, and that's the problem right now. We can't cut through that heavy-weighted spot market at the moment simply because the lockdown scenarios in Europe and in U.S. Well, you consider these two economies are two behemoth oil juggernauts are responsible for some nearly 15% of consumption. It's a lot. So, you know, it's a lot to take into consideration. And of course, the U.S. is the biggest one of them all, and they really chew up a lot of oil. So once the U.S. markets get reflated through a vaccine, I think all the petrol-related emerging market currencies will start to pick up momentum again also.
Is it a good time to come in and start to take part in this rally, or should folks perhaps wait for certain near-term and be wary of near-term risks that might even create some buying opportunities later on?
You know, I disagree with averaging it. I think this opportunity is too hard to turn a blind eye to. I mean, I wouldn't put all my eggs in the vaccine basket, so to speak, but I would start chipping in here, buying a little bit up in this level. And, you know, it depends on how you want to view this. Do you want to buy the more cyclical play in Europe, or do you want to keep your money in the U.S.? This is all the differentiating factors that you have to weigh in here. Do you want to move into the heavy banking sectors of Singapore? Do you want to move into the mining sectors in Australia, or do you want to move into the heavy cyclical sectors in Europe, or play the U.S.? It's a decision that you have to ultimately make. I kind of like them all. So, I mean, I'm sort of going to chip away at all global stock markets in a small way on this vaccine bounce, and probably keep enough powder dry to buy any sort of wobbles that we'll have in risk sentiment, which are bound to happen. I mean, it just always seems to be the case that we're going to get other buying opportunities at some, and you really got to keep your powder dry, because things don't go up in a straight line ever when
Absolutely.
It comes to stock markets.
Right. And so if you were a retail investor, Stephen, with only limited amount of powder at the moment, and you had only three markets or sectors to really look at given this rally, which ones would you actually favor?
Well, the underperforming pockets, you know, obviously the travel and leisure sector has been beaten down. I think those are the benefits. If you're looking to trade a currency risk, I'd be looking for currencies that are exposed to the travel sectors. And we've gotten several over here in Asia, but even an outlier that's heavily weighted on the servicing side is the pound. You know, they were one of the hardest hit economies in Europe, or in the world actually, by COVID, because of the sort of mismanagement. I mean, let's face it, they actually invited COVID to spread again by offering government promoting go to restaurants and eat, and that was just the biggest wave of COVID that happened after people started going back to the bars again. So, I mean, I think the UK could stand to benefit. So I'd be keeping my eye on the pound. Other such sectors, obviously, the airlines are going to do well, and I think the long-term play on oil is okay. But of course, we're getting weighted down by the Biden knockdown because of the greening of the U.S. markets because of the Democrat policy. These are concerns that we're going to have to deal with. But look, greening of the oil industry is not isolated to the Biden presidency. This is a global phenomenon that's going to take shape, whether the oil community likes it or not, pretty soon, within the next 10 years. Tesla and the boys are going to do what the Edison's light bulb did to the candle factory and put oil industry out of business, and because people are going to be driving electric cars in the next decade.
Oh, great, great insights there. Stephen Ennis, Chief Market Strategist for the Asia Pacific at Axie Corp. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety out in Bangkok, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the near future. Have a great Tuesday ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, JP. Talk to you soon.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.